gals from Equine Connection, the Academy of Equine Assisted Learning. Hi, I'm Carrie.
I'm Carolyn.
And I'm Carson.
Welcome to our podcast.
You will be listening to some of our best moments of helping people to live their best lives, and all while, get this, working with horses.
We will be your hosts and have tons of guests along the way. Subscribe today and happy listening. Hola, amigos. There was a lot of pressure for me to start this live video, and so I didn't know what to do.
Hola, amigos.
What is the Price is Right tune, though? It's not
do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
The Price is Right. Bob Barker.
I don't know the song.
Okay.
Anyway. But that's kind of what we're going on today is the horses, right? We actually got somebody who listens to our podcast.
Yeah.
That's what they're called. And Christina asked the question.
Crystal, not Christina.
Crystal asked the question of how do we figure out the right horses for us? How do we know if the horse is right? And what a fantastic question that is as well, because that is a great thing to think about before you're starting a course and even after
or
as well.
Business.
Yeah,
anything.
A lot of people don't necessarily even have horses.
Exactly. And another great point that she had mentioned is that it's fantastic to have a relationship with the horse, but there has to be something more than that to make sure that they're equipped for this job. And that is so, so true.
Absolutely.
Okay. So now let's get into the nitty gritty of this. How the heck do you
introducing yourself?
Oh, yes.
Yes. The nitty gritty part is that we generally forget to do. My name is Carolyn Charles. I'm the Director of Sales and Marketing with the Equine Connection, the Academy of Equine Assisted Learning, as well as an instructor and facilitator for this magnificent course.
I'm Carson Scooter. I'm an instructor, facilitator, and a social media guru here at Equine Connection.
And I'm Carrie Fulmick, the founder and master instructor of Equine Connection, the Academy of Equine Assisted Learning, helping people just like yourselves globally around the world to imagine and doing, having this dream career of working with horses, being with them every day, but working with them in a completely different way. And that is on the ground, like no riding, and allowing them to be the teachers to help human beings globally move forward in their lives. Because humans are pretty cool for the fact that we have the answers to the problems that we have, but sometimes they get stuck and lost, where that horse is so brilliant at being able to help pull out that information for all of our humans to help them make the changes that they need personally for their own lives.
And this course is really just as much for all of us as facilitators as it is for every single person that ever walks into our arena. So if this sounds like everything that you've ever possibly wanted, then definitely type in horse, get some information, and tune in here where we're going to tell you all about how you're going to look for your horses and what's the best route to go with that piece as well.
Is the horse right for you?
Nitty gritty.
Absolutely.
So the very first piece of this is life skills. Do your horses have life skills, or the horses that you're looking at?
And you know, when we first started as well, especially because I had to start on my own because, well, she was not even a thought in this business yet. And Carolyn was doing the marketing and IT work. So for myself, it was really important to find horses that already have life skills. So what is life skills? It could be horses that have done many trail rides in the mountains. It could be horses who've done the 4-H or the Gymkhanas. It could be horses who've done parades or who've been around lots and lots and lots of people and noises and sounds and just all those things that create the life skills piece, kind of like similar to us. Because if we come with a lot of life skills, they're very solid inside. Mm-hmm. Like they've got strong foundations. Not to say that a rescue horse could not be a part of it, but for me starting out, I needed really solid life skilled horses.
And to know that background.
And to know the history, to know the background, so that I was able to confidently run my programs. Because when you first start, you have no confidence in what the heck it is that you're doing with these programs. So it's really exciting when then you have those horses that already come prepared with those life skills.
Yeah, and a lot of times, you know, if you think about the life skills that they could have, this is where some of those retired guys come into play, mm-hmm. that kind of, because they still have purpose. Just like us, we don't retire from our jobs and all of a sudden lose all of ourselves and anything we ever wanted to do in life. They're the same way. So if you have that horse that maybe has an injury or can't do what they used to do before, they used to be a great dressage horse, but now they're just not doing the same thing that they used to be able to do, that's grade horses for this too. You don't have to have a horse that's perfectly sound as long as you're taking a look at what you want to be able to handle and vet those.
Yeah. That well, well, and that's true too. It's so nice when your life skilled horses already come that you can actually even ride if you were wanting to ride. But even there's so many people who come to this course and they're like, I used to ride. I'm not into the riding piece anymore. I'm into actually really partnering with horses and hearing them in a completely different way. So it really depends on where it is that you're at. But you're right with the vet bills and bills for injuries or health issues with horses. It is a write-off, don't get me wrong, but to have write-offs, you still want to be having the money to be able to have the write-offs.
You still got to put the money out first.
Yeah, exactly.
And one other thing, if you are looking at getting a horse and bringing it to your property, make sure you get two or a donkey or something else to keep your horse company because he is a herd animal.
Yeah, and he needs a horse. They know if it's not a horse. So a goat is not a horse and they know it's not a horse.
It's funny, just side note, we went down to Montana for a course this weekend and we drove all the way there and back. On the way there, it was like an 11-hour drive. Oh, yeah. But we're such nerds. Every time we saw horses on the side of the road, we'd be like, and then we'd see one that was all alone and we'd be like, the whole way. It was absolutely hilarious. Yeah, we're losers, but we love them. Same as seeing halters on in the field. We didn't like that either. That made us sad. So
just a couple of
just
ours.
2 cents. There's a So going into this next part too, because we could just go yap on all day, I think.
Because it's character period.
Yeah.
Like, character period.
Because you loved
buckskins. Well, and brown horses. Like brown horses are my all-time favoriteest color ever. But after I lost four of them in 2011 in 8 weeks, everything changed. Not only did you need life skills, but then I was just looking at the character only. Mm-hmm. It had nothing to do with the color or the breed that they were. It was finding those horses that, again, had that character, who had that personality that they wanted to do equine assisted learning. Because I had no time to do no shopping.
And it doesn't matter what they look like. People are going to resonate with them because of their stories or because of their scars or because of whatever it is that they have going on with them, like Faye with her scar or Jordy
with his ear off.
And you know, Jordy, when he stepped off that trailer, he was just a rough looking dude, right?
He was the ugliest, cutest horse like ever.
But then as he develops in his personality, people love and adore him. And he's such an important part of our herd just simply because of his character and because of who he is. So don't always just look at the, oh, I want the prettiest horse, or I need one that looks like a unicorn, or this one has
to be from the bloodline.
No, because that's not this industry. You can look at those kind of things with different types of things, but not EAO.
Exactly. Good morning, Richie.
Reach in there. So yeah, the character is really the most important part, but beautiful parallel to humans as well. It's the same thing, right? You don't meet somebody, and yes, you could meet the most gorgeous person in the world, but you talk to them for a bit and you're like, woo! Not so awesome. No, same as you meet somebody who's maybe got scars or who has something else going on with them, but the more you speak to them, the more beautiful that they get too.
Oh, right?
So always keep that in mind, as it's not just about that first impression. It's about really understanding their character, where they're coming from, the life skills that they have to be able to move forward with them, for them to be an amazing teacher.
And you know, even character adds a lot to even injuries. You know, it's just like with the people as well. You know, when we get an injury, we prove to not only ourselves, but to everybody else that, you know what, doesn't mean anything. It's happened to me. I'm going to move forward with it. And our horses feel that same way. And it's so wonderful to know that we're in an industry that's open to all, no matter who it is or what size they are or the age. Age, though, I do have to say, because mentally a horse hasn't completely developed until the age of 7. So age is really the only thing that we take a look at. But even with that, you have to know, like, our Faye, she was 4 years old when we started working with her, but because she had so much life skills, she had so much character and personality, she was actually an old soul, an old heart, an old spirit. She was always so safe to be with. So you really have to go with your gut on that. But again, just so that you know, though, 7 years old before their mind completely develops. So.
And that's why you can't discount them either for certain things. Like Pass is one of our horses. He has a cleft palate. shouldn't have made it really past 6 months. Most of them get pneumonia and die. He's
13
years old now.
He's a survivor.
But he's got a gooby nose, right? So he does, you know, he's kind of like Slimer, slimes over people and that kind of thing. And a lot of people would look at that and say, oh, my clients won't like that one bit. Well, one of our clients came in who had a cleft palate themselves, and it was like automatic connection. And the fact of the matter is people, when they fall in love with these horses, they don't care if they're getting a little bit of snot on them or whatever else. They really don't.
No.
So don't discount the horse just because they might have something physically that you would think would be displeasing to people, because the character and the story that comes with them and the healing that they can do for people and the skills they can teach, that's all worth so much more.
And there's,
Your sound of good. Mine was going to be like a no-go, so you go first.
Oh, I was just going to say, an number 12,
yeah.
Yes, in a PEI. Oh, my goodness. Mm. Her horse was blind. She was a thoroughbred. She still bought this blind horse. And at first, what she was doing is putting that mask on so that people couldn't see her eyes, because they were really out of her socket. Well,
they were like really
bad.
Yeah, it
was just... But, you know, we all decided we want the humans to actually connect to that piece, because it's not ugly. Mm-mm. It's something that many of us have had to live with. But again, allowing that beauty to come out and had more empathy for the programs. This, I think it was Zara. Was that her name? Zara.
Good for you.
She, I tell you, just affected our entire heart and really opened our eyes to say, wow, I personally never thought a blind horse could work in an EAL program, but their senses, they're stronger.
And it's incredible because horses react off of stimulus and stimulus alone. So if that stimulus being brought to these horses that they feel in a safe environment, they are A-okay. It is so incredible.
Yeah. Really, so character, very important to know.
It's only two no-goes for EAL horses, and that is no stallions and no green broke horses.
And green broke, we're talking just on the ground. It doesn't matter if the horse has ever been ridden before. It's all depends on how well they are on the ground and how they're reacting and working with all of those things.
And you know, another thing too, well actually this kind of leads us into the next piece, is take the course, because you know, we go into day three and we'll get more into that in a little bit about everything that is covered and what you should be looking for in your horses. But you know, never stop learning either. If you have the opportunity to go to clinics or workshops or take online courses to learn more about how to get to a better place with your horse, or how to continue that learning, or can help them with their welfare, you know, never stop with that stuff.
Yeah. And horses say, but you know, the never ending, that is so true. Our horses are continually communicating with us, and we owe it to them as the humans to start understanding it even deeper and clearer. Does my horse want to come in and work with people today? Are we listening to what it is that they're saying? And you know, those are huge pieces in doing these programs in equine assisted learning. Mm-hmm. I have to say, most of our horses, they are the phenomenal teachers of equine connection, because they want to come in. We have horses who knock at the door coming in when we're already thinking way ahead of time, who are we going to bring in for the program? Who wants to work with us? Usually they're just there waiting to come in. And if there is a horse that really doesn't want to come in, we do not make them come in, because they let you know something.
And even think about it, how many times have you been in that situation, even when you're riding your horse, and your horse didn't want to come in, but we forced them, then we get on the horse, then we get bucked off the horse. The horse was talking to us. So it's so cool to be able to actually see and listen to what these guys are telling us.
But it's pretty amazing, that character piece that comes through. And with taking the course too, the nice thing about that is a lot of people wouldn't consider a lot of the stuff that we go through on the third day of the course.
It's like huge.
Even the amount of training. Think about what are you actually willing to do for training? Because yes, absolutely, there's different things that we can work with. If you've got a horse that's not very catchable, or a horse that maybe is a little bit head shy, but still you think is really going to be a great horse, fantastic if you're willing to do the work to make sure that they get out of those places, because you don't necessarily want a head shy horse, right?
Or a pullback horse,
right? Because it's always safety first. So we do go through a ton of information that really opens your eyes to a different way of looking at how to get the right horse for the job. And a lot of people ask too if they can have their performance horse or their showing horse and this at the same time. And yes, but just remember the amount of retraining that's going to be necessary, because during the course you don't have horsemen people working.
And even in Montana, we had actually met this horse who purely does who's an athlete. And he has no intentions of being an EAL horse. Nope, loves his job.
He's likey.
Yeah, and so just know, too, that if your horse is a performance horse, it's okay. They don't have to be an EAL horse, too.
No, absolutely.
There is one other benefit, too, with the day three of the course, is we actually go through the entire day of learning how the horse is actually speaking to us. But then on top of that, you actually get a checklist to go through.
Yeah.
So when you leave the course, you get to check her off different things that you can try with your horses to see where they fit in and maybe where the pieces are that they don't fit in so much. Yeah.
And it is a different kind of checklist.
It really is. And the nice thing, too, is it never ends even in the training with your equine team, because globally there's around 400 of us. So it's so nice when you throw it out there to our global team to say, well, this is the scoop. Here's a picture. I'm concerned with this, or, you know, do the pros and cons. And all of us go, blah, 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 and we help you out for those decisions, especially if we're thinking more here versus feeling more on what it is that maybe the horse needs. And, you know, doing like even a 60-day trial period, I think that's a wonderful thing to do, because the people who are even selling or getting rid of their horses or giving them away for free, you know, they hopefully have cared about that horse so much that they would give you that ability to have them for 60 days to see if they would work into what it is that you are developing with your equine assisted learning.
Absolutely. Well,
and you know, one other benefit too with taking the course is we actually have a ton of people that once they find out that you're in this business, they want to throw horses at you. Like, we're not even joking.
So horses start coming.
So once you're a part of this course, we actually have people who reach out to us, and we share it with our facilitators that there are these horses and they are looking for homes.
Yeah, you bet. So many with beautiful stories, or just that people can't afford to keep them, but they used to be these amazing other horses in different ways, or they have an injury or whatever else it may be. But it's really neat how they seem to come into your path, and the right ones. Like even how Faye came to you was bizarre.
I know. It's so cool.
And you'll hear about that in the course too.
Yes, we don't want to tell us everything.
And trial periods are genius.
Yeah. They really, really are. And I say most people would do that because they should do that. And if they don't want to do that, then maybe that no more seed for you.
Yeah, they should want to come see where it would be that their horses are going and stuff too.
Don't, you know, even in our course, we always say too, sometimes those horses that you think are, oh no, this horse is never going to do it, they're the ones who actually end up freaking loving helping people and being the teacher. We're the one, oh yeah, this one's solid, blah, blah, blah. Being solid does not mean that they like doing the work.
True.
Like, this is where we have to go to a different frame of mind, because just because they're old, that means nothing. Mm-hmm. Just because they're a pony, that means nothing. All of it has to do with how they're handling it as the humans are actually working with them as well.
And not all of your horses have to be like super, super
great at it,
quiet and everything else, right? Because you want those reactions. You want a bit of things happening with your horses. So it's not like you're going to have to only pick the super quiet.
Great.
Okay, so three ways. Well, I think we covered more than three ways.
I think we did.
A lot there.
Three main ways that you guys can start taking a peek at if you're looking at horses, or maybe you're considering taking this course first and then going for a horse, is one, the life skills part of it.
Huge.
Does your horse have life skills, or does your horse to be have life skills?
Yeah.
Two, character, period.
Yeah.
Solid.
Boom. And three, take the course, because you will learn so, 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 so much.
So, 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 so much.
So, 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 so,
so. So. Yeah, so, you know, and as Carolyn had said too, you know, we take this course, we think it's for, we're going to start a business. Mm-hmm. But actually we take this course for me, myself, and I. And we're worth me, myself, and I, especially if it is we are wanting to understand our horses in a completely different way. Like, it is definitely first for you, and then it moves on to how you're going to develop and create the business that you're looking for.
Totally.
Plus, of course, we're there with you for the life of your career.
Isn't that exciting?
Like, seriously, unless you divorce us, then we're okay with it. We would be saddened, but we're okay with it, because sometimes it's a stepping stone to another thing that you're going to be doing.
So again, my name is Carolyn Charles, Director of Sales and Marketing for the Equine Connection, the Academy of Equine Assisted Learning, as well as an instructor and facilitator.
I am Carson Scooter, an instructor, facilitator, and social media guru here at Equine Connection.
And I'm Carrie Fulmack, the founder and master instructor for Equine Connection, the Academy of Equine Assisted Learning. I remember every horse does have a beautiful purpose. It's just finding those beautiful horses that are going to fit into this beautiful career that you're yearning for, that your heart desires, that you've got the burning pit in your belly, that you've got to do more and more. Why? Because we've got a very short life. Remember, we got to quit waiting to live our life because life is now. Make it happen.
Thanks so much for tuning in today with us gals from Equine Connection on today's episode of Changing Lives with a Horse, of course. Next week, we're going to have tons more information, and please join us then for more chatting on how these phenomenal creatures are really the best teachers around. We'll talk to y'all then.